This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Thomas Laments is an author from Pruitt, New Mexico. I have not a clue where Pruitt, New Mexico is. Maybe somebody does. He talks about his six-year-old granddaughter, Shirley. He said, I overheard my six-year-old granddaughter, Shirley, discussing brothers and sisters with a friend. She told her friend, I don't have any sisters at all. All I have is two brothers and a baby. And I'm afraid the baby's growing into a boy, too. All I have are two brothers and a baby, and I'm afraid the baby's growing into a boy, too. Well, that little boy baby is not only going to grow into a boy, but that little boy will grow into a man. And according to a Dr. Robert Eifker, American men are experiencing a steady decline in physical and emotional health. That statistically, men do not do as well in every area of life, medically, physically, and emotionally, as women do. 80% of serious drug addicts are men. Men are 3 times as likely to be alcoholics. Men are 7 times as likely to be arrested, DWI. Men are 25 times more likely to end up in prison. Men struggle more than women in every area of life, it seems. And you say, well, what in the world are you leading up to? What's that have to do with the message today? We're going to talk about some dangers to men and women, but a man in particular that Jesus spoke to and Jesus talked about. A man who focused his life so much on what he owned, on so much what he had, that he literally demonstrated and manifested that that's all that mattered to him. One of the great dangers in life is not having money. The great danger in life is that money will mean everything to you, whether you're male or female. One of the great dangers in life is not having things. It's that the things will become your God. The things will become number one. And we're going to read one of the most famous stories in all of the Gospels. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and that is the parable of the rich young ruler. We read it today in Luke 18, as we continue, we're still in the 18th chapter of Luke. We're in verse 18 today. A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. Verse 21, this is interesting. And this man was serious and sincere, I believe, when he said it. All these I have kept. All these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come and follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? Jesus replied, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Would you listen to that again? What is impossible with men is possible with God.
Well, I say it often, money is the most sensitive issue in most people's lives that may be too sensitive for you to listen to the rest of this message. Our website is crosshope.org.
What I'd like to do is walk through these verses, first of all, and then I'm going to leave you with three principles today right out of this conversation that Jesus has, not only with a young man, but a wealthy man, not only a young wealthy man, but who was a ruler. He was in a position of authority in the culture of the day. And Jesus' lessons to him speak to me, and hopefully they're going to speak to somebody here today. First of all, and let's bring up verse 18 if we can, a certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" I have a notion that even the atheist and the agnostic believes, is there life beyond this grave, this earth? That somewhere down deep in the spirit and the soul of the person who says, there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no hell, there's a part of that person, that man, that woman that says, there's got to be more. There's a part of the soul that cries out, even in the atheist or agnostic, that there's something beyond the grave. And it's a question that goes back to the oldest book of the Bible. You may think the oldest book of the Bible is the book of Genesis. It's not. According to Bible scholars, probably the first book of the Bible that was written by Job. And Job asked this question, if a man dies, will he live again? If a man dies, will he live again? That's your question. That's my question. And as a believer in Christ, I believe that that question is answered with a person, Jesus Christ, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he what? Say it out loud. Live. Yet shall he live. The answer to Job's question is answered in a personal God, Jesus Christ. Let's bring up verse 19. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. There's a lot of discussion in the commentaries about what that verse means. Evidently, the term good teacher was not a term that people used in describing rabbis. They didn't say good rabbi or good teacher. And so Jesus was answering his question with a question, why do you call me good? There is no one good except God alone. And some people think that this could be a reference to his deity. He was as if Jesus was saying, do you realize what's implied in your question? Let me give you an example. The last person I talked to in Atlanta, Georgia, virtually the last person I talked to before we moved from here, Atlanta to here, a woman called me on the phone and said, I'm sad to see you leave Atlanta. I listen to your radio program every Sunday morning. When we leave at 8:30 to go to our lake house in North Georgia Mountains, we listen to your program. And I said, well, that's great. And then she told me, she said, and I need to tell you that I'm not a Christian. I'm of the Jewish faith. You may remember me telling you this before. I was scratching my head and I said, wait a minute, you're of Jewish faith? And you listen to me every Sunday morning, you know, I've been known to mention Jesus once in a while. I've been known to talk about Jesus being the Messiah, about him being the resurrection of the life. And I was having a little fun with her, but she was okay with that. And she laughed and she said, oh, don't worry about that. She said, Randy, every time you talk about Jesus, I just transfer everything you say about Jesus over to God. And the hair on the back of my neck stood up. Because she had no idea the profundity of what she was saying. I just translate and transfer everything you say about Jesus over to God. She was doing the exact right thing because of this reason. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Verse 20, let's bring up verse 20 and then 21 as well, if we could bring up both verses. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, verse 21, all these things I have kept since I was a boy, he said. I've heard people say, well, how arrogant of that rich young ruler to claim that he kept the law, and I said, wait a minute, you and I have probably done the same thing. You and I have probably had this conversation. Well, I haven't done anything really that bad. I've kept the law pretty well. Some of you may disagree with this, but I've learned this over many years. I never, 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 if I can help it, tell anybody on an airplane what I do for a living when I sit next to a person. Never. I mean, I avoid the subject. I'll talk about the Lord. I'll talk about spiritual things. But I never tell people that I'm a minister for this reason. Here's what happens. One of two things. either people shut up real quick and they stop talking. They don't want to sit next. I've actually had a woman say, of all the places on the plane, I had to sit next to you. You know, like it was the worst place. And I said, sorry, it's, you know, I'm just sitting, that's what my ticket says, can't help it. Or a lot of people want to give you their list. And you say, what do you mean by that? Everybody wants to give you a list of all the things they've done, all the spiritual accomplishments. They really do. And I've had, well, I'm good to my parents, and, you know, I've been helping a neighbor out. And I really believe it's a subconscious thing about wanting to recite their list of why we should get into heaven. Everybody's got a list. Everybody does. I do, you do, of all the things we've done. And then I love to let them tell me their list. And then you know what I tell them? I said, it has nothing to do with your list. They say, what? I said, you're going to heaven has nothing to do with your list. It has to do with everything, with what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. And really what you and I need to do is focus not on the list, but on the cross, on what happened on the cross. And so many people give you that deer in the headlights look, like, I've never heard that before. No one has ever told me that it has anything to do with other than my list. And this man gave his list to Jesus. I've kept all these things since I was a boy, and I believe he was sincere. He meant it. He was serious. Now here's the difficult verse, verse 22. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Go to the next verse. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Verse 24, Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 25, indeed, it is easier. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I want to say something right at the top here about these verses. Jesus did not say what he said to this rich man to everybody. He doesn't say it to everybody in this room. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. He just said it to him. I've heard preachers say, well, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to sell everything and give it to the poor. Jesus didn't say that as a blanket statement to mankind. He said it to this man. And let me tell you why he said it to this man. What he was asking this man to do, listen carefully, this is really important. He was asking the man to change gods. He was asking the man to change gods.
Well, extremely personal question, folks, but do you need to switch gods? Do you need to change gods that you worship? Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and listen tomorrow to Crosshope.
What this passage is about to me is having you and I look at what we own in relationship to the Lord. You're going to say, is this a message, Randy, about giving? No, it's a message about your life. It's not about giving. If you leave here today and say, well, the preacher talked about giving, you missed the boat. You didn't miss the point. You missed the whole boat. You didn't get it. It's about your life because there are things, there are dangers that are inherent with money. I'd like to bring up that statement, if I could, that's at the beginning of the message, that money in itself is not sin. In fact, the Bible says that it's the love of money that is the root of all evil, not money itself. Money in itself is not a sin, but it poses three dangers in all of our lives. There are dangers associated with money in your life and my life, and we're going to briefly discuss all three of them. Let's bring up number one. Money can create false independence in my life. Money can create a false independence in my life. Here's what happens. We were born, I believe, with dependency on our parents. The most natural thing with a baby, a newborn baby, is its dependency on its mother. And those of you that have had a newborn baby in recent years, you know exactly what I mean by that. Totally dependent on mom and dad for everything, for nurture, for sustenance, to stay alive. That baby's life, in a very real sense, is in the hands of those parents. There's a dependency. And there is a sense in which we were born with a dependency upon God. And when people, in my opinion, reject the idea of God, they're rejecting their only source of hope. and connection with that which they're looking for and they're searching for. There's a vacuum in your life that's shaped like God, and a God-shaped vacuum in your life that cannot be met until you find your relationship with the God who made you through Jesus Christ. And having money sometimes creates a false independence. Here's how it goes. Now, I heard a wealthy man say that you're not rich until you don't know how much money you have. And I disagree with that, because there's a lot of people middle class who, I don't have any idea how much money we have in the checkbook. I don't have a clue. That doesn't make us wealthy, because I don't know. I just don't know. But he said, until you don't know how much money you have, you're not really wealthy. And the thought occurred to me, when people can write a check for virtually anything, the downside of that is, I don't need the Lord. I just write a check. Well, don't you need the Lord? No, you see, if I need something, I just write a check. Well, don't you feel a need in your life? No, you don't understand. Read my lips. I just write a check for anything I need. Money can create a false independence. I don't know how many of you have read the novels of James E. Michener. He's written quite a few books, and those of you that are book readers know who I'm talking about, Michener. In one of his books, it's about a prehistoric time, and there's a main character in this part of the story who is involved in pagan worship, the worship of a pagan god. I won't tell you the details of it because there's no need to tell you. It's not a real pretty story, but it involves some immorality with this man in his worship of his pagan deity. And when the man's wife sees him commit these terrible sins in the name of religion, in the name of worshiping his God, she makes this comment in Michener's book, and it's really profound. She said, if my husband had only had a different God, he might have been a different man. If my husband had only had a different God, he might have been a different man.
Well, we conclude this message from Luke 18 tomorrow. I want you to hear the concluding story. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
Tell me what your God is, and I'll tell you what kind of man you are. Tell me what your God really is, and I'll tell you what kind of woman you are. We become like that which we worship. We always do. You will always become like that which you worship. Money can create a false independence in my life, an attitude that I don't need anybody, including the Lord. Let's bring up the second danger. Money can shackle me to this earth. We don't use the word shackle, but let me ask you this. You ever seen someone arrested on television in a famous trial situation or a famous arrest, and we've seen recent arrests in the media in the last few months, and you see people not only in handcuffs, but they're in leg shackles and they can barely move as the police are escorting them into a court to be charged or to be arraigned in front of a judge for the charges to be read, or they're taken into the trial. And I want to suggest to you that money can shackle me to this earth. I become chained to this earth. I become so attached to this world. I don't want to leave it because all of my attachments are shackled to me. William Barclay, the famous Bible commentary, talks about a Dr. Johnson. He doesn't identify him in any other way other than a Dr. Johnson, who was taking a tour of a certain wealthy estate and castle. And after the tour was over, Dr. Johnson remarks, "These are the things that make it difficult to die." What a statement. These are the things that make it difficult to die. What is it in your life that you have that's making it difficult for you to die? And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about things. What is it that may be shackled to you? And just in the same way that the prisoner walks into the courtroom in leg irons and handcuffs, you have leg irons and handcuffs when it comes to something that you say you own, but really owns you. Let's bring up the third one. Money can make me more self-centered than I already am. Now, that may sound a little facetious to you, but I don't mean it that way. Everybody's self-centered to a certain extent. We all are. I don't believe that, you know, there are people who are self-centered and there are people that aren't. Everybody's self-centered. You can't help but be self-centered. got pain in your leg or pain in your arm or pain in your chest or somewhere, you tend to be self-centered about that pain. Why? Because you're the one who feels it. There's a situation going on in your life, a problem that's right in front of you, and you tend to think about that, and somebody say, well, you're just self-centered. No, it's just that you've got a problem that's at the forefront of your life right now, and that's normal. But my point is this, money can make me more self-centered than I already am. Money can make me more focused on myself than what I do already. Folks, if you don't go home with anything else, go home with that message out of Luke 18 today. You've got to serve somebody. And this rich young ruler is introduced to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's confronting him, of all people, with what he had and what he owned that actually owned him. And you say, I don't know if I can handle a situation like that with Jesus confronting me like that. Well, let me tell you something. He just did. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about this word. You're sitting there today. I'm standing here today. And Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is confronting all of us, you and me, with the truth of this passage that money can create a false independence in my life. It can shackle me to this earth, and it can make me more self-centered than I already am.
Folks, I really believe the Lord's speaking to somebody who's listening to this message right now. Maybe it's you. Our website is crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.